Mitchell and Langer on the line of scrimmage coming from either side to try to block the kick. Auburn trying to go after it. Here's a snap. They got it. Block kick. Balls back to the 25. Picked up on the bounce at the 25-yard line. And in for a touchdown is David Langer. Mitchell on the left, and Auburn is again going after the kick, as you might imagine. Greg Gantt standing on his own 30. Auburn will try to block it. Auburn going after it. Here's a good snap. It is blocked.
Things first. Fourth and goal at a half a yard. Jackson! Touchdown!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25. Cuts it inside. 30. 35. 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50. To the 40. To the 30. To the 20. To the 15. 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Welcome to Tiger Talk Overtime. Your chance to talk anything and everything Auburn. Join the conversation at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome into Tiger Talk Overtime. I am Doug Holton, and we continue to get you ready for Auburn and Mississippi State. It should be a very big ball game, an exciting ball game this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and the final game at Jordan-Hare Stadium for a little bit. The Tigers don't have a home game in October in 2019. Anyhow, heading into this one, Auburn is 4-0, 1-0 in the SEC after the win over the Aggies last week. They are ranked number 7 in the AP, number 7 in the coaches' poll heading into this week. And by the way, a 6 p.m. kick at Jordan-Hare Stadium this weekend on ESPN if you can't make it. And, of course, the pregame show here on FM Talk 106.5 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Auburn overall against Mississippi State, they've won 70% of the ball games against the Dogs in Jordan-Hare Stadium, a pretty good mark as well. 29-7 overall, several games at neutral sites in this series. But last year in Starkville, 23-9, the Dogs manhandled the Tigers, and that evidently is a game and a setting that has stuck in the craw and the gut of Coach Malzahn heading into Saturday's affair.
You know, the great thing about us is we got most of our guys back, so you really don't have to say anything. They know exactly what happened. We left that thing, and they embarrassed us. I mean, as a team now. It was the whole deal. We only rushed for 90 yards. You know, we pride ourselves, on that, winning up front. So you just got to do it. I mean, they're a good team, and I don't have to say much. I mean, our guys know. It's a new year. It's a completely new year. But at the same time, when you have experiences, whether you're a player or a coach, you remember them. And we got to respond.
So expect an old-fashioned defensive football game, hard-hitting, and hopefully the Tigers can run the football in the SEC battle between the Dogs and the Tigers Saturday. The injury situation, Derek Brown out in the latter part of the A&M game last week, the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week, nonetheless, and he has practiced this week. Whether he will be effective in the game, that will probably be a wait and see and a game time decision for the Tigers coaching staff. Observations from last week, Chandler Wooten, the linebacker, seemed to be a difference maker. He seems to be getting better. The 6'2", 228-pound junior is helping the Auburn linebackers, and all of the young guys seem to be coming along nicely. The weakness, perhaps, the defensive backs in the latter part of that A&M game, they gave up quite a few passing yards and let A&M back in the ball game. Although they were playing a prevent defense, it got a little scary in the latter part of that game, and with an onside kick, the Aggies could have been very close, if not right back in it, in Kyle Field last weekend. But Gus Malzahn seems to have confidence in his defensive backs, especially Noah Igbinoghene.
Well, he's a great competitor first. I mean, he's one of the best competitors we have on our team. And he never takes a playoff in practice. There's times in games he may get a little nicked and all that. You try to put somebody, he don't want nobody. I mean, he's that guy that really leads by example. And, he's one of our best all-around players.
Offensively, the Tigers need more consistency in the run game, more passes downfield, of which they had virtually none against Texas A&M, and more explosive plays like the reverse to Flash Schwartz, who outran the Aggie defense to give AU the early lead last week.
I saw one out of the corner of my eye, but I know they're not going to catch me. And if they do, that's props to them, but I'm gonna keep on running. I like having tunnel vision to the end zone. Yeah, pretty much. If they do catch me, they must be fast too.
And the scary part is Flash says he can get much faster because his fitness is down a bit with the preseason injury to his hand.
I feel like I can go way faster. Just near the middle to the end of the run, my legs kind of got heavy. And I know I feel like if I was up to full fitness, probably would have looked even faster. I would have ran faster. Maybe the angles wouldn't have been as close as it was on the film. I say I'm at like 80, 85 right now, and I feel like a hit. By the end of this week, hopefully I'll be at closer to 100, maybe 90, 90, 95.
And that's a good news, bad news scenario for the Auburn passing game and quarterback Bo Nix. Just how do you develop timing with an Olympic sprinter coming off a hand injury getting faster every day?
It's very important because I'm one of the fastest people in college football, so it's like you got to get ready because maybe now you might have a little better timing, but like when I get back to full speed, I'm going to be a little faster, so he's probably going to have to work on it a little more, but it's going to be a every week the week thing and just telling him how I feel, and he'll tell me where he wants to throw it, and I'll just run to the spot. Like every time I tell him, just throw it, and I'll run to wherever you need me to go to.
No doubt a comforting thought for Auburn true freshman quarterback Bo Nix, and Anthony Flash Schwartz definitely making a huge impact on the Auburn offense in 2019. There was a time, though, back in high school when people were trying to convince him not to play football because of his blazing speed. Why would he put his future in jeopardy?
Yeah, especially mainly in high school, people were telling me, why are you still playing football? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? But I just love the game too much to quit, and I can't. I love both sports too much to quit either one of them, so it's kind of hard for me, but the way I'm playing right now, I feel like I've made a good decision so far.
And no doubt about it, Anthony Flash Schwartz made a good decision and playing awesome so far for the Auburn Tigers. So far in 2019, what will he eventually choose for his sport? He was pressed a little bit on that this week, and the only thing he would really say is that he would rather run in the Olympics than play in the Super Bowl. So if that gives you a clue. So interesting. He's an interesting character, and we're going to delve a little bit more into Anthony Schwartz and get to know him a little bit better tonight, as in the next segment we're going to talk with his coach, Ralph Spry, the track coach at Auburn, and we'll get a little bit more of the track perspective and the football perspective as well. So we'll get to know Anthony just a little bit better tonight. Also, Noah Igbinoghene and Sean Shivers also running track for the Tigers, so we'll talk a little bit about them as well. We'd love to have your phone calls tonight. If you want to talk some Auburn football, our number is 343-0106. Give us a buzz, and we can talk about the Tigers' upcoming game with Mississippi State. Again, Saturday night in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Should be a fantastic crowd, as you heard Gus Malzahn talk about. This is the last home game for Auburn until November, so no home games in October. Kind of a strange situation this fall for the Auburn Tigers. Heading into the ball game this week, give us a buzz. Tell us what you think or what you thought about the Auburn Tigers' victory over the A&M Aggies last week at Kyle Field. Parts of that, as we just talked about, very impressive. And other parts of it, well, maybe could use a little work. I noticed that Coach Gus Malzahn and his segment on Tiger Talk kind of breezed over the defensive backs and the cornerbacks, which I thought could use a little bit of work, especially in the fourth quarter when A&M was throwing the football and making their comeback that ultimately fell short. But the Tigers will need those DBs and cornerbacks down the stretch against some better ball clubs. You heard Butch Thompson also talking about the baseball season coming up, the fall season. We want to mention that practice is this Friday at 2:45 at Plainsman Park. If you want to go watch, they say there will be a chance to get photos and videos at practice. They'll practice at 2:45, the inner squad at 4:30, and then on Sunday, practice at 5 o'clock if you're hanging around, and the inner squad at 6:30 p.m. We'll be back in just a minute with more of Tiger Talk Overtime. We'll talk with Ralph Spry, the head coach, the track head coach at Auburn University. All that and more in your phone calls when we come back.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everyone, to Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night. We are talking Auburn football and some other Auburn sports as well as we get you ready for Auburn and Mississippi State coming up Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Should be a great crowd and a great football atmosphere on the Plains this weekend. Join us on the phone lines if you'd like to. 343-0106 is our number tonight and every night on Tiger Talk Overtime. And joining us now on the phone, as we mentioned, the head track coach at Auburn University, Ralph Spry. And Coach, welcome to the show, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about the track program, first of all, and we'll get into some of the guys you have in a minute, but your season, you've got cross country, as we were talking during the break, and track coming up in the winter and spring.
That's right. This time of year in the fall semester, we're in cross country season, but as far as the track field season goes, we're doing most of our training this time of year, but actual season, January through March, middle of March is our indoor season. And then the remainder of March through June into July is our outdoor season. So we go pretty much year-round, but for the track field guys, it's pretty much the spring semester they're in action.
Right.
And we had a reloading the year last year. We lost three or four guys being professional that were some world-class sprinters, but we kind of reloaded, and those football guys we were about to talk about really are a key part of that rebuilding process.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if you had a chance to, you probably couldn't hear Anthony's comments, but at the press conference this week, he had some interesting thoughts on track and field and football and maybe what his future will be. Just tell us a little bit about watching the A&M game last week. What did you think about that run?
I'll tell you what, when I watched him go around the corner and I saw the space he had, I knew it was going to be lights out. We always talk about track speed and football speed, but when you got a world-class sprinter like Anthony Schwartz with track speed on the gridiron, it's just a different level, and he's that type of guy. He's very, very dynamic, explosive. You see it every time he touches the ball, he can take it to the house. But that was really exciting to watch Anthony, because he's such a hard worker, and he's a good, fine young man, and you love to see people have success that you work with and know the hard work he's put in to get to where he's at.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very interesting, too, that he said he likes to watch the video board when he's running down the field. A very intelligent guy.
I'll tell you what, I don't think many people have the luxury to do that. But when you're that fast as he is, he's got time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I can imagine it must be quite a feeling to be in away game in SEC in that huge stadium, looking up at the big screen in a sobbing crowd as you're blowing everybody away down the football field.
Must be
quite an experience.
Must be a good feeling. I'll never have that feeling.
I don't think I will either.
Yeah. Did you play a role in getting him to Auburn, or how did that work out with track and football?
That's something that Gus has really been on board with here over the last couple of years, and Coach Porter's been, I really worked with him quite a bit on that process as well. So it was a joint thing, but they've already had Anthony identified, and I made a home visit with him, and we talked about track and field. Every time they were able to get on campus, I had time to spend with him and his mother, Jen. So we had a great relationship, and that was very important to Anthony, because we knew why he was coming to Auburn to play football, but we also knew he was a world-class sprinter, and he wanted to run track. So he had to make sure it was a good fit on both ends, because that was very important to him. And I think by joint recruiting him like we did, I think they both felt comfortable that Auburn was a good fit for Anthony.
Yeah, I noticed his high school coach down in South Florida. That I was just wondering how you got him to Auburn.
Well, I tell you what, they're probably still trying to figure that out. I know my their heads are still spinning down here in Gatorland, but we got the fastest kid out of the state of Florida, and we got a few more from South Florida. So he's kind of helped us get that foothold down there obviously in football they got a great foothold, but even in track and field, by having Anthony as part of our program, we've gotten a lot more done in terms of recruiting track and field down South Florida.
Mm-hmm. At the last couple of comments that he made, Coach, Tuesday at the press conference, he talked about people were asking him what would he choose if he had to 1 or 2 years from now, football or to run track. And he said he would. The only thing he would say is he'd rather run in the Olympics than play in the Super Bowl. So what do you think his future is?
You know what? I've always, like I told Anthony, when you're one of the top guys in the country as a high schooler and you get to the right environment at the next level, at the collegiate level, and do things right, you're going to be one of the top collegiates. And if you do things right then, well, you're going to be, you know, he's established himself as one of the next big guys in the U.S. in terms of the sprint. So I really think the sky's the limit for Anthony, you know, and I think he's certainly an Olympic caliber type talent. He's very young, but it's difficult to balance SEC football and SEC track and field, because most guys they'll be racing against for Olympic trials will be solely track and field. That's all they do year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough transition. And he understands that, but we know the challenges ahead of us, and we're not going to back down. We're going to do everything we can to put him in the best position he can be in to have a shot at the Olympic team. And I think he'll be an Olympian, whether it be this one in 2020 or 2024, I do believe if that's his desire, he's got the ability to be there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. 2020, how would that work for him? Will he be able to be a factor in the trials there?
I think certainly he'll qualify. And it's hard to say right now. You know, we're so loaded in the sprints in the U.S. And again, you know, he's got a little bit of an uphill battle because all the top sprinters he's going to be racing against, you know, they're not in pads right now. They're not playing football, so it's a big challenge. So Anthony's up for the challenge of it, and the biggest thing with Anthony is keep him healthy, you know, and let him get some recovery time, because when he came to Auburn last year, you know, he had gone through a full high school season, made the U.S. World Junior team, came straight to Auburn football in the fall semester, and then came straight to indoor track and field at Division I. So he really has gone, he's burned the candle on both ends. So that's why we kind of took a break this summer and let him kind of recuperate, recover, and get ready for this tough year that we have ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. And I assume, I'm sure he runs the 100 meters for you. And what else does he run, relays?
Yes. You know, actually, indoors, you know, they run the 60 meters. So he had the fastest time in the world last year as under 20 years and under. So he was the fastest guy on the planet in the 60 meters, which is an indoor race.
Wow.
But he'll really run 60 meters for us indoors and the 200 meters. But outdoors, he'll mainly be a 100 meter specialist. He will run some 20 meters. And then, of course, our 4x100-meter relay. So he's a key guy for us. But like I said, you know, we handle him with a white kid glove, you know, because he's special. And we want to make sure that we keep him moving in the right direction. And he's such a talent that we got to make sure we do things right with him.
Yeah. I know when I was at Auburn, we used to watch Bo Jackson and Herschel Walker run when Georgia would come to Auburn. What kind of numbers does Anthony put up in the 60 and the 100 right now? I know, you know, it's hard to tell during football, I guess.
Yeah, well, actually, back then they ran the 55 meters, you know.
Yeah.
And what Anthony ran 6.59, that'd be equivalent to running 6.0 low. And so that you know, Bo and Herschel be looking at his name on the back of his jersey in 100 meters or 60 meters. And that's not to take anything away from those guys. Those guys are. I came up in that 83, 84 time frame, so I watched Herschel Walker run. I've seen Bo run, and they were ungodly talent. But Anthony is really really got another gear, and like I said, he's really special, and what you see when Anthony is really the tip of the iceberg. He's just never had a chance to hone in on one particular sport. So again, when people see the fastest time in the world as under 20 in the 60 meters, you got to remember that's a guy that's just spent 6 months playing football in SEC, where you know how tough that is, you know, taking hits, running routes, and blocking, mm-hmm. and to come back and do those things he did on the track is really something special that a lot of people can't comprehend. It's a really tough transition from SEC football to college track. It's not like high school football or high school track. It's a really world-class transition.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted people to understand, that you know, Bo and Herschel were really football guys that were running track. Of course, they ran track in high school. Bo ran the decathlon or whatever at in Birmingham, but Anthony is a guy that's in a whole different class than those guys, and we wish him the best in the future. We also want to talk in the couple minutes we have left. Coach, you got a couple other guys, Sean Shivers, I think, and Igbenogany are two guys that you coach in track as well.
That's right, and both those guys, you know, are SEC-level athletes. You know, Sean did a really good job last year. He made it to the NCAA championship preliminary rounds and just missed making it to the finals. But he had a personal best. And again, same thing for Sean. I mean, it as a freshman, for him, just like Anthony, it was a tough transition. But that's why that first year was so important, to get that experience, you know, get battle-tested. So this time around, you know, we got a little more to work with, and they understand a little bit more about the transition that's necessary. And Noah, you know, he's a long jumper, triple jumper for us, and has actually scored in the SEC for us in the long jump. So, you know, Noah's another great talent. All those guys have done a great job, and the biggest, nice thing about them, they're just very humble guys, and they're hard workers. And that's why there's no surprise the success in football field and on the track, because, you know, I see them every day in the spring, and they don't expect any special treatment. They come out there, roll their sleeves like everybody else, and they go to work. So, and I expect that same thing happen this year.
Yeah, that's one of the things I noticed that Gus said during his press conference when they asked him about Noah, is he's one of those guys who's a hard worker. He doesn't take any days off plays off during practice or the games. He's one of those guys that you can depend on.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Gus hit the nail on the head. I mean, Noah's one of those guys that in track practice, you almost got to pull the reins on him. And you want a guy, you'd rather have to pull the reins and give a kick in the back end. But Noah's one of those guys, you got to say, hey, man, hey, you got to back it down a little bit, because he works so hard, you know. And as a coach, you got to be smart enough to make that adjustment and know when enough is enough and how to make that transition.
Yeah.
But you're dead right. All those guys got that work ethic from football, and it rolls out in the track and field. So I mean, I got zero issues with the effort they put out on the track and their commitment when they get to the track. The team players, I mean, they're good for the program.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for recruiting. I mean, the whole process.
All right, Coach. We're out of time for this segment, but thanks for being with us so much. We really enjoyed the visit about the track and field guys. We'll keep up to date as the season nears, and good luck to everybody this weekend and the rest of football season. Thanks for being with us.
War Eagle, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
All right, War Eagle. Coach Ralph Spry of the Auburn Tigers, back with more right after this.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night as we get ready for Auburn and Mississippi State coming up Saturday at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Of course, the pregame right here on FM Talk 106.5. We invite your phone calls tonight to talk about the Tigers. 343-0106 is our number. And right now we're going to visit for just a minute with the other Bo. Not Bo Nix, not Bo Jackson, but Bo Megginson, the former host of the show and one of the more knowledgeable people that I can think of about Auburn football. Bo, I understand you're down on the coast and got a good view, a nice dinner right now.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, first of all, thanks for having me on your show, and congratulations on what a great job you're doing. And yeah, you can probably hear the music in the background. I'm here in Miami, which is home now, so it's not all bad.
Yeah, tough life, it sounds like. tell me about, let's talk a little bit about last week, first of all, your impressions of the way Auburn got out to the lead, and then they got a little bit, I won't say iffy, but a little close there at the end, but they were able to play the odds and come out with a victory.
Well, that's been Gus Malzahn's standard operating procedure for a while here. He starts with his scripted plays, and he's got an idea of what the defense is going to do, the other team's defense is going to do, and is able to script some things that work, and they work pretty well early on, if you remember. Now, we did have some challenges with Oregon, but made some adjustments there, but because I think it was a freshman quarterback. But last year against Washington, came out, moved the ball very well the first quarter, and then shut down once the defense adjusted. And Gus, as has been obvious, doesn't have the ability to readjust once the defense decides to take away whatever he's doing. Kevin Steele's kind of been the other way around in that, you know, he's kept Coach Steele, the defensive coordinator, seems to start off bland. The other team seems to do pretty well the first couple of drives, and then he adjusts and does much better from maybe halfway point of the first quarter on to the end of the game, and did, of course, very well until our defense just kind of gave out against Texas A&M. And if you remember, think back, the real big difference was that, because A&M had much more yardage than we did,
Yes.
But they were getting field goals, whereas Auburn was getting touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, we won the turnover battle as well. So I think that's something that Coach Steele's doing that was very similar to what Bill Oliver did. And a lot of his approaches is that played, you know, not want to say safe, because in between the 30s, because they gave up more third downs, more long third downs, I think, than we would have liked until later in the game. But they're able to move the ball in the between the 30s, but then really we cinched down when the teams got into the red zone, and then forced field goals rather than touchdowns, and that ended up being the difference in the game.
Yeah, it was an interesting scenario last week. I thought watching the game, you got the feeling that Auburn was fairly dominant in the first half and the third quarter, but then when I looked at the stat sheet after the game, you would think that Texas A&M won the ball game if you looked at the numbers.
Well, and the big thing that jumped out at me statistically, and this is harkens back to what Tommy Tuberville used to say, is if the other team can't run the ball, I don't care how much they throw it, if they can't run the ball, we're going to probably win. And Texas A&M could not run the ball.
Okay.
And I think they had 58 yards, total yards rushing,
yeah.
And 24 of those came on that third and 30 run that they had in the fourth quarter, where they or maybe the third quarter. It was the third quarter. We had them, I think, third and 32, and they ran a draw, and the kid ran for 22 yards or something like that.
Right.
And that was over almost half of their entire rushing yards. So even though Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, the quarterback, threw for over 300 yards, the fact that they were not able to run the ball made them one-dimensional, gave us a real advantage. And if you can't run the ball, it really dramatically reduces your ability to convert touchdowns in the red zone, because you've got to be able to run the ball inside the 20 to be able to score touchdowns consistently, and they couldn't do it. Yeah. And again, there's the difference.
Yeah, and the big factor, I'm thinking, when you're saying that, is Derek Brown. He was the lineman of the week again last week, and a little bit of an injury. He's had a nagging injury for a couple of games now. It'd be a big factor to have him in there to try to stop the run against Mississippi State Saturday night.
Well, he's vital. I mean, our defensive line is vital to needed, but we can't win without them. But Derek Brown, of course, was a five-star guy. Everybody knew he was a great player coming in, and he has lived up to his hype. Marlon Davidson, five-star guy, has lived up to the hype, his recruiting hype from the day one that he came to Auburn and was playing in the rotation as a true freshman. You know, Nick Coe was a four-star guy. Has lived up to the hype. So, you know, we've got players there. And now we don't have the kind of depth that we need to really be able to sustain injuries, because, you know, when you've got 320-pound guys hitting each other on a consistent basis for 2 hours, they tend to get beat up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's one area where we're not as good. And frankly, Malzahn is not dedicated in giving Rodney Garner the scholarships he needed to go out and sign the kids that we needed to build the depth. And that gets back to Gus's inability to manage his team, manage the program well.
Yeah. I mentioned I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll say next year we're going to really see that when we lose Derek Brown, and we lose Marlon Davidson, and we lose Nick Coe very likely to the NFL. Big Cat Bryant may go pro. And then, of course, we lose guys in the secondary, and the secondary's best friend is a strong pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Roger McCreary's coming on, and he's going to be a good one, young man from Williamson High School. Who's playing exceptionally well right now at corner. He's going to be a good one. So, but you're losing all those defensive linemen, and there's no replacement for strength in the defensive line in college football.
Yeah, hard to play without those guys. And you mentioned the cornerbacks. What did you think of their play? I pointed out Chandler Wooten a little bit earlier in the show. I thought he had an outstanding effort last week and made a lot of progress, mm-hmm. as the linebackers have. But I was a little concerned about the corners in the fourth quarter of play. I know they were playing prevent and playing the odds, but what did you think?
Well, and again, A&M's got players on the outside. All their receivers are big guys that are, they've got 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", guys that can make plays. They do make plays. Hmm. And Javaris Davis, who's quick, but Javaris has been picked on for 3 years. And when he's out there, you can pretty much bet on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, whoever number 13 is guarding is going to probably have a pretty good chance of having the ball thrown to them, unless we double him. because Noah Igbinoghene is doing a great job, number four on the defensive side. He's playing well. Roger McCrary from Williamson High School, doing exceptionally well, tackling very well.
Yeah.
The safeties, Jamie and Sherwood, Smoke Monday, as well as Daniel Thomas and number 20, I'm drawing a blank on his name. But I can remember the kid from Jacksonville.
Denson.
But he's Denson, yes, Jeremiah yeah. Denson. All those guys are playing very, very well. We're getting really good play. But again, the defensive back's best friend is a strong pass rush, and we're able to get good push up the middle and to get a good rush just rushing forward and sometimes three. And when you can do that, it really assists your defensive backs and gives them a chance to maybe take a gambler here and there or play tighter than they would otherwise because they're not afraid of getting big deep because the rush is getting to the quarterback.
Yeah. And Truesdale is a guy who's played very well, and Christian Tutt, I think, has played pretty well at the star and in the special teams. But I was going to ask you quickly about Mississippi State. Gus has made a big deal out of last year's game and how Auburn was kind of manhandled at Starkville. Do you think that plays a factor Saturday, or will they just line it up, tee it up and go?
Well, it really shouldn't matter. It's Mississippi State and Auburn. This does not sound condescending, but Auburn should beat Mississippi State straight up.
Yeah.
And last year, for the life of me, I can't understand why we didn't think that Nick Fitzgerald wasn't going to run the ball. I mean, he's ran the ball 28 times, and it was pretty much known. And for the life of me, I don't understand why Kevin Steele didn't just put 8 men on the line of scrimmage and dare him to throw the ball, because he did that in the first half. And when he tried to throw the ball, we got pressure. Bad things happened for them. Good things happened for us. But for whatever reason, we didn't. And we let Nick Fitzgerald just eat our lunch and run all over us. And I still haven't figured that out.
Yeah. And offensively, Bo, Bo Nix looked adequate last week at Texas A&M. He didn't make any mistakes. He did what he was supposed to do. But a little bit of an inability to throw the ball down the field, which has got to change sometime in either this game or next game, I would think.
Yeah. If we're going to have any prayer of beating LSU, Georgia, Alabama, he's got to hit wide-open guys for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he was trying to fit the ball into a window. He just missed. He overthrew wide-open guys for touchdowns. And I think if you listen to guys like Todd Blackledge and Troy Aikman or Tony Romo on TV, they say when you've got a guy wide open, whatever you do, do not overthrow him. Do not overthrow him. You have to show it a little bit short, and he comes back, has a comeback, and maybe gets tackled, you know, after the catch, fine. But you don't overthrow him. You give him a chance to make a play and pick up 30 or 40 yards. Maybe you don't get the touchdown, but you don't have an incompletion, and that's what he's got to learn.
Yeah, at least give him a 50-50 ball.
Exactly. You give him a chance.
Yeah.
You don't overthrow him, because it's like in golf. Of course, you don't ever have this problem because you make all your putts. But 100% of the putts that don't get to the hole don't go in.
Yeah.
So you at least want to get it to the hole.
The old Tom Watson adage.
And
you haven't seen me play golf lately. So anyway, hey, listen, we'll let you go. I know you're busy down there with dinner and your engagement. Appreciate you being with us. And I hope if you're not going to the game Saturday, hope you enjoy it on TV at South Beach.
Well, thanks so much, Doug. And again, great job with the show, and appreciate what you're doing for Auburn there in Mobile.
All right, Bo. Thanks very much. Bo Megginson from Miami, Florida, as we get you ready for Auburn and Mississippi State. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Auburn basketball with Coach Bruce Pearl. Stay with us on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Tiger Talk OT continues. Share your thoughts at 343-0106. Now your host, Doug Holton.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, everybody. Doug Holton with you for the final few minutes here as we get ready for Auburn and Mississippi State coming up Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium, a 6 o'clock kick on ESPN. And, of course, right here on FM Talk 106.5, you can catch the pregame show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and, of course, the postgame after the game concludes. One of the events scheduled for Saturday, the Auburn basketball team will be honored at the football game during one of the breaks. and they will receive their SEC championship rings. The Tigers coming off a Final Four season last year, barely edged by eventual champion Virginia. And yesterday, Coach Bruce Pearl sat down with the media to kind of open the season, and he talked about their schedule in 2019 and 20, where they will visit Mobile to take on South Alabama and also open the season, not open the season, but in the early part of the season, they will take on one of the more pesky teams, I guess you'd say, in college basketball in Davidson.
I think it's a really challenging schedule with some really interesting opponents. Starting off with Davidson in the Armed Service Classic there in Annapolis. Nobody plays Davidson. It's like you don't schedule Belmont, Rick Byrd. You don't schedule McCullough and Davidson. Just you're asking for trouble because they're they're some of the great coaches in our game, and their teams are hard to guard because of where they play and shoot the basketball. But I just felt like the challenge of that opponent, they're picked in the top two or three in the A-10 this year, as well as getting our team to go to Annapolis and experience that, is something we didn't want to pass up on. We are in a series with an in-state program that's at the mid-major level in South Alabama. I just don't know how many SEC teams actually go on the road and play programs like we did UAB and like we are now with South Alabama. That's going to be a real challenging event. And as they bring almost everybody back, plus they had three or four kids sitting out. So we played exceptionally well last year at home on that one. So Mobile will be a real challenge for us early in the season. The neutral site, the importance of the Mike's Live Invitational continuing to exist and potentially grow into something special. The foundation for prostate cancer research is going and growing up in Birmingham. The dream would be someday it gets as big as the V Foundation. So we're helping it launch by playing St. Louis University there this year. The interesting thing about our schedule is the best way for our fans to maybe be able to buy a ticket and see us play is to buy a ticket in Birmingham, or buy a ticket in Mobile, or buy a ticket in Annapolis, or in Brooklyn as we play in the Legacy Classic, because there just aren't many tickets to be had at Auburn Arena. And certainly want to, make sure we get that message out. Attitude's been really good in practice, the culture, the work ethic, the guys want to is definitely there. The interesting thing as we get into the heart of our practice season is whether or not we're going to be able to build on a daily basis some of the successes or failures that we have in practice. In other words, so far I've had to continue to go back and sort of reteach and go back to some of the same mistakes that we're making, where we've got to be able to move forward. And that's because we've got so many newcomers, and that our ability to get past that is going to be important. And then just looking back at last season, especially as it relates to this team, Jared Harper's third year, Bryce Brown's fourth year, Chuba Kiko was one of the smartest players that I've ever coached, and we talked about how good he was all the time, and we saw how good he was at the end of the season last year. And then Horace, a fourth-year player, and Malik had been in his second year. Never to mention Austin in his third year, and Danjo in his third year, and Anthony in his third year. There was just a lot of experience. Javon McCormick was the only newcomer, and he didn't really show up until late in the year, which just tells you how challenging that learning curve is. That's our biggest obstacle right now, is just that learning curve. So excited to get started. Excited about our length, our size, our athleticism. Our biggest challenge is going to be our seniors. All are going to be playing a brand new role. All five of those seniors, if you think about it, are going to be asked to do something different than what they did a year ago. Which one of the newcomers can come in and help out, you know, pretty quickly, and then handling the challenges of the SEC, you know, continue to be building into arguably one of the, if not the best basketball conference in the country.
No question about it. The SEC is that, and the comments of Bruce Pearl this weekend as the Auburn Tigers basketball team starts practice after their Final Four appearance a year ago, or not quite a year ago, but last spring. It'll be interesting to see the newcomers this year without Jared Harper and Bryce Brown and Chuma Okeke, the three mainstays from last season. Of course, Bryce Brown signing the contract this week with the Celtics to play in the minor leagues, if you will, so we'll be following his career. Well, we're almost to the end of the show here, but we want to thank our guest tonight, Ralph Spry. We talked a little bit of football and about his guys in track and field. Anthony Schwartz, the speedster who scored the touchdown for the Auburn Tigers last week, and, of course, Noah Igbinoghene, and also Sean Shivers, the running back, all three of those guys running track for Ralph Spry. We want to thank him for being with us. Bo Megginson also from Miami Beach checking in on the Auburn Tigers. We want to thank our sponsors on the show. We don't often get time to thank them, but Azalea City Hand and Rehab, D&K Suit Discounters, Edward Jones, Carrot Patch Jewelers, Rolling Tigers Booster Club, Robertsdale Power Equipment, T. Batchelor & Son, and your CBD store of West Mobile. It has been an exciting show tonight. Hope you've enjoyed it. And we want to mention quickly about the baseball team. You heard Butch Thompson perhaps on the Tiger Talk show tonight. They have practice this weekend if you're heading up. They are opening their fall season as well. Baseball practice at 2:45 tomorrow, and then the inter-squad game at 4:30 tomorrow evening, and then Sunday practice at 5 o'clock, and the inner squad coming up at 6:30 on Sunday evening. The Tigers and Mississippi State coming up Saturday night at 6 o'clock in football at Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's an ESPN game at 6 o'clock. The pregame starts right here on FM Talk 106.5 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Stay with us, and we'll have the postgame for you after the ball game is over. Enjoy the game, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next week on Tiger Talk Overtime.